And it's really interesting that we still don't have an exact number of the dead yet that's confirmed. Of course, they say minimum of 9. Israeli TV reported 19, Hassan. We had 20. Hassan, when you say that the live fire just kept continuing, can you tell us approximately for how long were the Israeli soldiers firing live fire?
To be honest with you, I would not be able to say because it was
approximately
chaos. Perhaps some of the other witnesses could give you a time scale. I want to be completely honest and tell you that I don't know. But it did continue for at least a good few minutes. And the announcements were being made on the ship tannoy over the radio communications. And there was a white flag in the air. But the firing did continue despite that.
That's
there was like some sort of a mopping up operation, I guess, going on the roof.
Just to give you an idea of what some of the media reports, such as Britain State TV, they say none of the Britons was currently believed to have been involved in any violence against Israeli servicemen who boarded the ships. You can see how they're spinning the story in terms of the people on board, the activists, using violence. Was there violence used retaliation to what was going on? Like you mentioned, live fire happening. And were there any weapons used? Another big question, which some say the activists carried.
Well, I mean, let's be clear about this. This was... And any violence that took place on behalf of the volunteers, I mean, they were attacked. They were attacked first, and they were in international waters. They were essentially being hijacked and abducted. Just because the people that were doing it were in uniform, I don't believe makes it any more legal or any more correct. I didn't see any British involved directly. The soldiers who were taken, their weapons, what I saw personally was a weapon taken from him. The bullets were removed from the weapon. They were thrown when, you know, they were taken in one direction, the gun was taken in another direction, and they were preserved to be used as evidence of the fact that they were using live bullets. And for, you know, obviously now the ship is in Israeli hands, so that's not going to be the case, but the bullets were separated from the gun. I know that there was another instance in which, from the interrogations that I've been undergoing, the Israelis tell me another soldier lost his weapons as well. possibly the other soldier who I saw being captured. I'm not sure whether his weapon was used or not because I didn't see that myself. But the one I saw, the bullets were taken away. It was not used. I know that for certain. There were no weapons. The only weapons that if you want to call them weapons, were wooden sticks and sort of pieces of, you know, maybe a pipe or something that was found lying around that was used in retaliation to live ammunition.
Okay, so we cleared that up. Let's move on. Tell us about your detention, what you experienced, what happened to you then.
Well, we were held on the ship for almost, I think, 12 hours. For the first few hours, I personally and along with a lot of other people were held in a stress position, our hands tied behind our backs with these things, you know, I forgot what you call them, the things that you use to tie cable ties, and they were tight, so tight that I lost the circulation in my right hand, the blood circulation, until some of the other people noticed, you know, I was losing color in my hands, and they asked the soldiers to reduce the stress. Then we were taken inside, and we were held under gunpoint for the next, I don't know, 10 hours, I would say.
Where inside? Inside where, Hassan?
At the coast.
When you mention inside, where?
Inside, in the cabins where we'd actually been staying and working, etc., where I'd been working on my reports, where the other volunteers had been chatting and saying we were taken down there. What had happened was, while we were up on the top deck, the soldiers had gone downstairs, taken all the luggage, gone through it all, just thrown everything. It was complete carnage in the cabins. Everybody's belongings were smashed and thrown all over the place. And so we were taken down there. We were forced to wait in there for maybe 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours, under gunpoint at all times. There was, for every kind of 4 or 5 meters, there was an Israeli soldier with a rifle holding it in the air. Nobody was allowed to even stand up. Nobody was allowed to go to the toilet. If they wanted to go to the toilet, they had to basically beg and plead with a soldier. And perhaps on the fourth or fifth time that they begged, they would be allowed to go to the toilet one at a time. One old man tried to, he was praying and he was shouted at by the Israeli soldier for praying. He said, you should pray sitting down on the floor. You shouldn't stand up during the prayer. Obviously, anybody who knows about Islam knows that part of the prayer, you stand up and then you prostrate, etc. So while he was praying, he was being given abuse by the Israeli soldiers. And they were threatening people with the guns. Anybody who talked too much had their hands restrained even tighter. In this position for a good 12 hours. And then in the sort of afternoon stroke evening, I've actually lost track of my timings, because obviously we were inside, we were held without watches, without clocks, without any access to anything. But in the evening, we were taken to the port of Ashdod, where we were all taken down. We weren't allowed to take any personal belongings with us, and any that were on us were stripped from us. I lost all my phones, etc., and all my cameras and laptops, etc., were left in the ship along with all the other media. Same thing happened to them. From there, we were told to sign a paper which said we agreed to be deported within 3 days. And he also took a statement from me asking me what happened. And it was in Hebrew. I couldn't read what it was, so I refused to sign it. From there, we were transferred.
Well, why don't you tell me, when you say refused, Hassan, was there a rebuttal from whoever it was that you refused to sign the paper for?
At this stage, no. We basically just wanted to get us out of there as quickly as possible. So they sort of encouraged me to sign it, but when I refused, they just said, okay, fine, get on. Later on, just coming out of Israel, I was really pressurized very, very heavily, along with other people, to sign the form saying that I agreed to being removed from Israel because I have been, you know, illegally entered, even though, of course, the Israeli Navy brought us into Israel. I refused to sign it again there, and I was told there that I would be going back to prison if I refused to sign it. I still refused to sign it, and I was taken to the airplane anyway. Anyway, going back to what happened at Ashdod, we were processed, small interrogations there, put onto buses, and taken to a prison, different prisons, I've been told now, by the volunteers. We were all in different prisons, scattered across the country. I don't even know the names of some of them. The one I was in was near the town of Ashkelon, apparently. Ella prison, I think.